right, that's too big of an area to talk about, so I added deserts. Then I thought that was too big, too. So my subtitle is Use and Abuse of Desert Soil and Maybe What to Do About It. And I also want to thank Heidi for giving me a chance to do this presentation today. What I want to do in this talk, in a short part of time, is we're going to do a better job managing military lands and desert environments. We're going to have to incorporate a lot more soil knowledge. And really what we're doing right now is we're focusing mostly on vegetation, and we're kind of ignoring the soils. So I want to do in this talk to kind of show you why the soils are important, what some of the issues are, and maybe a couple ideas of how we can incorporate more soil knowledge. So a couple factoids. Key issues face sustainable land management in military lands and deserts. First of all, most of our military lands, DOD lands, are in desert environments. Pretty big chunk of real estate. New weapons and tactics require more space, operational space, and in other words, a bigger footprint. This is definitely, many installations right now are actually looking at expanding land in desert environments. We know there's going to be more desert-based training, looking at where we're at right now in terms of overseas, and we're going to be seeing a lot more training in terms of strike brigades coming in, so on and so forth. Another key issue here is the deserts, soils, and vegetation are very susceptible to both climate change and land use impacts. We know we have climate change going on. How do you separate land use changes from climate-based changes? And the biggest issue I see right now is this sort of insufficient use of soil science and geomorphology in developing these monitoring strategies. We look at the vegetation a lot, we're focused on revegetation, that we're not using our best science in terms of soil science and geomorphology and integrating those into our management strategies. This is sort of a typical map. This is from the ITAM folks. We work with the Fort Irwin National Training Center. Military supply routes, lots of tank trails, basically lots of vehicles driving all over the place. And you guys seen this kind of stuff before. The general term is 6-7 ton non-selective grazer. And these vehicles drive around, support vehicles, command posts, everything else. You end up with a big mess. This is very typical. Here's a little vegetation back here. It's mostly Mojave Desert scrub, creosote bush, and white versage. Most areas look like this. And you get places like this, you get a lot of vehicles in one place, lots of deep ruts and whatnot. And so you're not just dealing with vegetation as far as restoration. Now you get these soils are all messed up. And this is a real issue. This is not a, I have a lot of respect for the ITAM folks in these desert environments. This is not an easy thing trying to make vegetation grow in desert environments. When I go to the ITAM meetings, most people talk about how do I knock the weeds down, keep those firing zones open. These poor people, they're trying to do everything they can to get stuff to regrow out there. This is a real challenge. And my only sort of, it's not really a complaint, my concern is we're taking sort of a farming approach, for lack of better words. And I think we're really kind of really doing more damage to the soils than good by taking these approaches. And common ones are deep ripping, using all kinds of critters to our blades, go down anywhere from a foot to 2 feet. Artificial berms with various ways of capturing what runoff occurs when it doesn't occur very often. And the sort of an augering approach where they deep these augers. They have some sort of horizontal perf pipe and the water's supposed to flow from this pipe and the auger holes here. And it's a real challenge. You got to get water out there and get these plants to the ground, get them established, and it's just a huge challenge. So here's sort of a way to sort of break down from my point of view, which is soil's point of view. If you look at these landscapes, it's a very complex soil mosaic, and I'll show an example of this. These soils have very interesting properties near for 10, 15 centimeters, which end up with a wide range of soil hydrologic attributes. This in turn has a big variation in soil plant water availability, which results in a mosaic of plant community structure. And the way I found to sort of deal with biologists and restoration people is I sort of talk about two deserts. There's a desert of young soils and a desert of old soils. And I find this may be the easiest way to break down this problem. So let me show some examples of why I'm saying this. Oh yeah, bottom line, soils control the plant dynamics and the surface stability. But again, we're largely overlooking the soils in terms of restoration practices. Okay, here's a classic desert Piedmont. Sand dunes, mountains, and here's a Piedmont area out here. And if you look at a geologic map or quaternary geologic map, it's just this huge mosaic of many different age landforms, different age parent materials, and so you have a very strong variation in key soil properties. It's a big mess, big mosaic, big puzzle piece. And here's kind of just sort of example, trying to show different soils. You can have, this is basically a whole very young soil, sand, gravel, very little soil formation of any type. That could be right next to a soil that's got a very strong argillic horizon and carbonate, and that could be right next to a soil we have a petrocalcic horizon, almost to the very surface. And each of these soils can have a very big impact on the types of vegetation that can be there, on erosion potential, so on and so forth. Again, so these landscapes are just composed of these very different types of soil side by side. We see that in terms of vegetation cover. If we look at young, weakly developed soils, these are usually Holocene surfaces, This is actually a pretty good plant cover in terms of deserts. Lots of creosote, ambrosia, other kinds of things out there. Once you start getting these older soils, these are soils that have been in the landscape for 2,500, 100,000 years, 150,000 years, you start forming desert pavements, and vegetation cover is dramatically reduced. So you're seeing a direct control between the soils and the plant cover. Again, this is an issue because when we go out there and do restoration, we're generally not looking at a young soil and old soil. We keep putting the same plants, whether it's an old soil or a young soil. So there is this really strong control of the soil type on the plant cover and undisturbed locations. I'm going to show you a little bit more. This is a trench we put through. Here's a creosote. Here's the interspace area. This is very typical for what we call young soils. Young deposits, usually less than 10,000 years old, sand-rich texture, very limited vertical horizontation, a very loose matrix, and high infiltration rates. This is the surface right next to these young soils. These things are basically sitting side by side. These are two different alluvial fan surfaces. Strong soils, old deposits, again, these are more than 25,000 years old, very clay-rich texture you can see here, complex vertical horizontation, sometimes carbonate cementation or salt cementation, and very low rates of infiltration. So these surfaces, vegetation coverage is a great reduced. On these ones, vegetation coverage is much greater. And this is a very typical sort of example of an old soil and a young soil, this idea of two different types of deserts, desert of young soils and desert of old soils. This is some work we did look at why does the soil control in the plant? Again, this goes back, if you put plants in the ground, how does the soil control the plant? So here's a trench log. This is sort of vertical distance, this is horizontal distance. Basically, the more yellow and red, this is just sort of a diagram of the distribution of roots below these plants between the canopy and interspace mounds. And the punchline here is, again, a young soil, deep roots, and a good lateral distribution of roots. So there's basically a large area for the plants, you know, in terms of minerals and soil, water, so on and so forth. Old soil, most of the roots are confined to a very small upper part of the soil section. And so water availability is more an issue and whatnot. So this is an example of how these soils can really control plant distribution. Probably another key point here is desert soils are very, very stratified. They're actually very complex soils. And one of the major reasons is these soils formed by the accumulation of desert dust. And so the dust comes in and you get very interesting horizontation, has a big impact on hydrology, has a big impact in salt distribution. And so a lot of these soils, if you look at the upper 20 centimeters, the part of the soil is most likely to be impacted by vehicle activity. This is where the real problem is. These are very complex horizontation, and in some ways the horizontation is good in terms of water availability for plants, in some ways bad, but the point is that these are very, very difficult soils to reform and work with. Easy, very easy to impact. All right, so this is what I went through before, part of the problem, and I think one way to improve our ability to sort of manage these lands is a stronger focus on the soil system, especially the idea of soil hydrology and soil geomorphology. Let me give you a couple examples. We've been doing a lot of time trying to really understand soil water balance in desert soils. We have a variety of monitoring stations like this where we're looking at different parts of the landscape system. Here's swells, bars, underneath vegetation, interspace areas, what's the vertical flux of temperature and moisture. A variety, of course, of MET stations have local MET data. Variety types of soil probes look at temperature and moisture content in the soils over time. Lots of infiltration work, and we're really taking a lot of state-of-the-art techniques in soil hydrology to understand where the water is in these soils and where it's in terms available in terms of plants. We can take some of that data, turn it around, play some games with it. For example, we can play some modeling games. One of the big issues at a place like Fort Irwin is that when they put plants into the soil, they have to water them. And a common technique is come by once a month and drop in a gallon of water. And we're able to show through some modeling that, well, most of the water just gets lost to evaporation. Well, you can imagine that having a 6,000-gallon water truck in the desert, you're talking about 100 miles of travel to get the water out there, it's got to be done, well, more efficiently. So we can play games like this. This is transpiration. This is soil water balance. And we're trying to look at taking a modeling approach to, well, how much water do you want to apply and when can you apply it to get maximum transpiration. It's pretty straightforward. The other thing we can do is we've been playing games looking at these ideas of auger holes, a very common way to restoration. You auger a hole and you put the plant back in the ground. So Todd's been doing a lot of modeling where we try to look at the water change and moisture content over time and how does the morphology of these auger holes impact the distribution of water in terms of root zone. And there's much to be done here, so we're just sort of playing around with this stuff right now. The other thing is trying to quantify vehicle impacts. This is working at Yuma Proving Ground. We had a sort of a race course of several armored vehicles, different levels of impact, one pass, five passes, 20 and 40 passes. Even had an old Russian T-72 tank out there. And so here's sort of the idea of some of the data we can collect. Black lines were the original soil surface, the red lines after 40 passes. And the only reason the rusts aren't deeper is a tank belly pan pretty much starts skidding on the soil. That probably would have kept on going otherwise. So again, we're trying to quantify if you do something to the soil, what are you really changing in the soil in terms of morphology and hydrology of it, and then can you fix it? I don't think you can, but at least you have an idea what you're dealing with. Last example, this is sort of a very standard low-order soil map. This is Fort Irwin. This is a typical NRCS sort of soil map. We've gone back and taken some of these areas, and we're sort of taking our ideas of landscape evolution, geomorphology, and soils, and we're sort of redoing the maps. And this is sort of a GIS product. Each area can be clicked on, brings up all the soil properties, like a standard soil survey, and we're just trying to bring that landscape complexity back into the picture, so that there's a better portrayal of the actual soil complexity across the landscapes, and these guys develop LRM-type projects, they have a better idea of the soils they're dealing with. All right, some conclusions. Again, my punchline here is if we're going to have better luck at the sort of idea of sustaining military lands and deserts, we've got to have more focus on the soil condition. We've got to quantify more what is, basically we need to increase quantification of actually what has happened in terms of soil impacts. What do we change in terms of hydrology? What do we change in terms of soil structure, soil morphology? Basically, what's broke? We know the vegetation is getting messed up. What's wrong with the soils? Can we quantify what's broke about the soils? Next, can we use our science and our sound to fix it? Well, most of these soils take 1,000 years to form, so you're not going to fix them in a couple weeks or a couple months or a couple years. But we better figure out what are we doing in terms of rehab that actually might make the problem worse. And are there things we can do at least will point the soils back in the right direction in terms of helping the plant and the soil surface? And really this comes down to is we've got to take more of our soil hydrology knowledge and our pedologic knowledge and bring this back to the restoration game. Work with the biologists, come up with some better ideas of linking these things together. And I think especially in terms of developing site plans, what is the natural distribution of soils out there and the natural distribution of plant cover? We have a tendency to keep putting plants on a young surface, on old surface, and vice versa. So I think with that, I'll take any questions. Thank you. Have at least one question. There you go. Good.
10 years ago or something, I sat to a meeting here where they're talking about strip mining in southern Illinois. And the kind of concept was all strip mining must be bad, you just try to minimize impacts. And there was a pedologist that was making an argument that it's probably good because they're taking the older soils, as long as they maintain the age horizon. By the time they rebuild them later on, they create a younger soil. It's more nutritious, less compacted, better for the overall. Do you see any opportunities to look at changing soils out there, or is it more just adapting to what's already there?
Well, that's a really good question, because in the case of the older soils are ones that are the most challenging. And I think we get down with, basically even the upper 20, 30 centimeters, we completely changed that soil type. And so the question now is, well, can we even go back in the right direction? I think you're almost at the point now, you almost have turned into a young soil, which to me is, that's even more of a mess. But if you look at, my personal observations out there, if you look at plant establishment of plants, the young soils are the ones that seem to respond the best. And they also seem to take the most impact. The young soil can be impacted pretty hard, but it seems recovery is very, very quick. The old soils, I don't think you can like scrape up the upper, say, 10 centimeters, take it somewhere and bring it back, because it has some very complex structure. So, to be honest with you, I don't know what we do with the older soils. I'm not really sure what, if the soil is that it destroyed, what a really good management strategy would be at this point. We're going to come up with something, though, that's for sure.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks.